I have probably, honestly, I'm not overestimating this. I probably handled over my almost 43 years. I look great for that, don't I? At least 250 grievances for lawyers. I'm on the Supreme Court's Disciplinary Rules Committee, and we're forming some new and more modernized disciplinary rules. And if you have any questions about that, let me know. But what happens when you're a fiduciary, you know, you really have these duties, because we're going to talk about that under the verdict, under the pattern jury charges here in just a second. So if you appreciate what those are, it'll improve your client relationships. You know, I always say, first of all, the magic inoculation, the magic vaccine for you not to get a grievance is one word: communication. Always tell your client what's going on. I got into a good habit 25 years ago of going into my office on Sunday afternoons and writing 2-sentence emails. Dear Bob, I know you were expecting to see the interrogatory answers. Well, they were due on the 25th, but they needed an extension. I gave it to them, so they won't be answered till the 20th next month. Just want you to know I'm thinking about your case and that's what's going on. Call me if you have a problem. Clients love those little emails. So here's what we do. How does the fiduciary relationship get created? Statute, common law, contract, and the facts. And again, a high degree of confidence and reliance imposed by law creates the fiduciary relationship. Now, you can also in Texas have an informal fiduciary relationship. All states acknowledge that the relationship of the parties may create an informal fiduciary relationship. In other words, no written documents. But if you go, listen, I know you're ill. Let me take your check or your money and go pay your bills for you. You have formed an informal fiduciary relationship. That person is relying on you to act in their best interest. So you don't need, just like you don't need a contract to form an attorney-client relationship, you don't need a formal document. I always bring this to effect because, you know, we kind of forget what we learn in law school about our attorney-client relationships. All you need for an attorney-client relationship is to let that client believe that you are going to hold what they have told you in confidence. That's why there are those cases out there, real cases, where somebody interviews a new potential client for 45 minutes. That new client spills his guts about this whole case. And then you realize the person he wants to sue is being represented by your law partner. Oh, no, we're going to be representing that real estate company. No, you won't. You have formed an attorney-client relationship by allowing that client to believe that you will act as an attorney in at least holding their confidences secret. It doesn't require a handshake. It doesn't require a contract. It requires reasonable reliance by that client. That's why, you know, we have these recommendations. If you accept new client inquiries on your website, make sure you have that click tab that says, if you won't be form an attorney-client relationship by sending you stuff. We don't want you to send it, but if you email us stuff, you agree that it's not to form an attorney-client relationship, because we may not even look at that. So again, a trust and reliance on another, acquisition of a high degree of trust, and dominance by one over a weaker party. Special fiduciary relationships, it consists as a matter of law, whether you assume that duty or in good faith and fair dealing. So many contracts then have those disclaimers. No, I'm not going to be fair and equal with you. I'm disclaiming any duty to do that. Well, that might be fine, but if you truly are a fiduciary, that's not going to do you any good to put a disclaimer in there. But it's good, you know, anything we said before, anything I promised you is off the table now. This is an integration clause. I'm not promising you anything. So we try to do that in our contracts. By the way, that's a boilerplate clause, and I have a whole hour-long boilerplate thing that I'm going to be doing in a month. The types of relationships, attorneys, right? We know we are. Partners in a business. Associates of law firms, agents, spouses, big growing area of tort law is suing your spouse for doing things like spying, putting a location device on a car. You have a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of your spouse. Holders of powers of attorney, right? Obviously, that's a big area. I was in a case a couple of years ago where they said that because the child had the parents, typical, like I had my parents' powers of attorney before they, that I could never accept another gift from them because the fiduciary who was the power of attorney said, well, guess what? You'll never get a kid to be a fiduciary for if the parents can never make another gift. They can't say, you know what we're going to do for you? You've been so good. You've helped us out so much. We're going to pay off that car loan for you for $5,000. Breach of fiduciary duty. No, that is not. But it is a dangerous thing that you should, if you are, even just for your own parents, you should say, we should really talk this over. You're going to do that because it's got to be of your own free will. And nobody can say that I influenced you to do that. Corporate officers, right? Joint ventures, executors, security brokers, class representatives, mineral rights holders, condo or HOA association members. Believe it or not, that's a fiduciary relationship. So let's talk about attorneys as fiduciaries. Integrity and fidelity that we hear over and over again, the required of this duty includes the duty of full disclosure of all important information, the duty of loyalty to your client's interest, and the duty to avoid conflicts of interest. Again, that's the phrase I gave you, uberi me fides. Sister St. Martin would be so proud of me for saying that right. Okay, the fiduciary duty changes the burden of proof in Texas and many other states.